Hi there, folks. This is the Mailwright Real Estate Show, episode 68. We've got a great show here. We've got a great guest, and I think it's going to be a really fun show. And I think you're going to learn something, a different, slightly different way of getting real results. We mostly talk about technology, and this guy is a real technology junkie like myself, but he also has learned how to personalize it, and I think it's a fascinating combination. So first, I introduce my fantastic co-host, Thomas J. Nelson. Like to introduce yourself, Thomas?
Absolutely. Thanks, Jonathan. Thomas J. Nelson here. I'm a residential realtor in beautiful San Diego, and you can find me at thomasjnelsonrealtor.com or on Facebook. And I'm going to be quiet now because I'm really excited about our guest.
Should be. And we got our guest, Ben Andrews of the Willamite Realty Group. I'd like to introduce yourself, Ben.
Hi, my name is Ben Andrews. I live here in Portland, Oregon, Clackamas, Oregon. I've been doing real estate about 12 years now.
Right, he's a veteran. So it's a fascinating story, Ben. I've been getting the background from your friend Thomas here. You know, you when the crash hit, you got hit quite hard, but instead of letting it totally destroy you, you fought back, didn't you, Ben? And you've risen from the ashes. So maybe we can start with that. How was it like in those dark days? How bad did it get? Do you mind me asking, Ben?
It was rough. The blinders had to come off. My wife and I had worked together for years, and what happened with the crash is our business just went away. We were, my wife was very relational. I was very transactional. And then she got pregnant. So she was obviously stepping away from the business a bit, just kind of take care of home. And when I took over, that's when things kind of hit the fan, and it wasn't a good thing.
So how did you cope with that, and how did you fight back a bit?
Well, I had to essentially look in the mirror and say, okay, who are you? You are relational. And then beyond that, I interviewed probably 20, 25 clients that I had worked with and just said, hey, you know, why don't you want to work with me? Why do you just want to work with Heidi? Because, you know, you got me now. And those answers were pretty revealing. You know, hey, you don't call us back. You don't reach out. You are, you know, you seem rushed all the time. You don't listen to us. So essentially, I just had to do business the way my wife does.
That's fascinating. So, Thomas, I think that's a really interesting landscape. Got some questions for Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ben, I was hoping you'd share with our listeners a little bit of how you've combined, first of all, technology without coming across transactional. You still keep it relational. So how are you using it for you and for your agents?
Well, you know, technology is a tricky thing. We try to come at it as, hey, I'm going to call you on the phone, but rather than calling you, you know, first of all, I follow a CRM, Brian Buffini's Referral Maker, which is brilliant. And with that, I will go through and, you know, it'll tell me who to call. And every couple months, I'll switch it up. I might send you a video text. I might just shoot you a text and say, hey, it would be great to see your face. Can we FaceTime? And so I'll have a, you know, 3-4 minute conversation on FaceTime with someone. And that has helped us use technology in a new way with real estate. You know, Brian Buffini always says tactics change, strategies stay the same, right? So we just try to use what we've got. So let's, you might live in Chicago, you might live, 30 minutes from me. Our schedules are such, we're not going to see each other. So let's get on FaceTime. So we do that quite a bit to engage in a different way with our folks.
And, you know, a lot of people have call reluctance, and you seem to be pretty brilliant at being able to either pick up the phone or send a text or a video. And you don't seem to have much fear about that. Was that always the case for you? And if not, how did you get past that?
You know, my first job, I got fired because I wouldn't answer the phone. I didn't like my voice. I just had to say, American Tourister, how can I help you? I couldn't do it. It came out of a need. You know, we didn't have any money. So I needed to reach out to people and just try to strum up some business. And what I found in some of those calls were, wow, Ben, it's great to hear from you, which I wasn't expecting because I wasn't calling them to sell them anything. I was just calling them to check in and to hear their response back to me of, hey, it's great to hear from you. Wow, okay, I can do this. And when I started doing a little more repetitive, another thing I found was that I was getting a ton of voicemails. You know, I might call 10 people, several will go straight to voicemail. So that's when I started doing a lot of the text videos of, you know, hey, Thomas, how are you? Great to, you know, connect with you. Hope you're doing well. Just wanted you to see my face. Something like that.
Right. Well, and the other thing is you've really personalized them, not only for yourself, but I know for your agents as well, where they can step in and add their own personality and voice to something that you've pretty much systematized for them. So a lot of people might have the fear of scripts and pre-made videos, but how do you customize those for your agents and how are they using them?
So that's been a very cool part of our business. We've set up 12 videos that go out through the year. As you know, getting on video is a very, you gotta pull everything off and do it and get in front of somebody. It's daunting. So what we've tried to do is scale these out. So we're sending out one a month. And what we do is we just tape a voice. So it's a voiceover. Hi, this is Ben Andrews. Hi, this is John Scruggs. Hi, this is Leslie Abraham. And there's a whole series that I've written. You know, it's a script, but it's their voice. And then we have what's called an explainer video, which is kind of the cartoony popping up different, there's probably 13 different screens on the video.
Right.
Screenshots. And it's an animated video. But now it's Leslie's voice, but she hasn't had to get in front of anybody. It's just her voice. I'll take her out of it. But, you know, if I start losing weight, gaining weight, I get a different haircut, there's a still relevant. You know, as soon as someone new comes into our database, we just start them on that drip. So they're getting month one, month two, month three, start someone else. And it just goes and goes and goes. So it's you build it once and it's done.
That's fantastic. So it's kind of like multiple layers of communication and they're not just getting all emails or all phone calls. You're mixing it up.
Correct. Yep.
And you do the same thing for transaction management too. I know. Can you talk a little about the emails and the text messages you send people during their process?
Sure. So we have a set of emails that go out. So let's say, Thomas, you're buying a house from me. As soon as you go pending, we have an email that's scripted that goes out. And it's, you know, congratulations on going pending, coming to terms with the seller. Here are the next steps that you're going to have over the next, 7 to 10 days, deposit earnest money, schedule inspections. So we do that for two reasons. One, takes our liability away because we've set the stage of, here's who we recommend. But if you want to have someone else, you can find them and vet this person. And now what we're doing is we're changing those into the same style of explainer videos. Mm. So we can have andrewsbyreferral.com/BP buyer pending. Well, that page is not accessible on the website. It's only from a link that we send them. So again, we're trying to get a little more technology in with the experience. We've had buyers that have been referred to us to say, hey, we saw your, Guy Bill, last year I sold a house to, and his guy in his cubicle next to him started talking about this email that his realtor had sent him, and he was so excited because now he gets to see the whole process through. Well, this guy was pending on a house that had just had a bad home inspection, and he had never heard from the realtor. And so I picked that guy up. It was a $700,000 buy just from that single email that his cubicle mate shared with him.
So you make a good point there, which is, I think what we're ultimately talking about is staying in touch with our clients on a regular basis. Because that's, I think, one of our clients' biggest fears is we disappear on them. And you've come up with a very systematized way of keeping in touch, and you're appealing to all senses. Some people are going to read emails while others are going to listen to a voicemail, or while others are going to watch a video. What's your favorite technology you're using right now? Any apps or anything you can recommend?
Well, we use SkySlope. That's our transaction management system. Very similar to Dotloop or any of these others. The great thing about SkySlope is it allows me to take, you know, my system. We're going to send this phone call. We're going to do this email. We're going to send this text and literally put it into the system so it will email me at whatever, you know, part of the process I'm at. So now I just send from whatever. And then beyond that, it will, now I've got a team of, you know, 5, 6, 7 people, and I have that same layer of support in for them without them having to do anything. And it doesn't create any more work for my transaction manager because it's just part of the process. So SkySlope is something we use and we love it.
Nice. So the client's getting a very personalized, consistent experience while the agent really doesn't have to put any extra work in. They exactly. can just go out and do what they do best, which is sell, negotiate, and market.
Yep.
Okay.
We had two agents start. So I have my own brokerage. We have 35 agents. We had two brokers start this year. One of them I thought would do very well. This person has a great database. She sold two houses this year. So we're now in, you know, 10 months later. The other person who just came right in under my system and said, hey, if you've got it dialed in, you've got it dialed in. I'll just get in line. He sold 13 houses. Wow. Not a great database. I thought he would have been the, you know, 2, 3, 4 sales a year. He's had a heck of a year. And he's like, dude, I'm working 20 hours a week. Everything's done for me.
Yeah, and that's it. Another important thing to mention is you're not grinding this out in an 80-hour week like a lot of realtors tend to brag about. I don't know why they do that, but how many hours a week do you usually work?
I'm at about between 30 and 35. You know, talk to my wife, 35, 40. But, you know, a lot of these things that I might be working on, like yesterday we're getting ready to trick or treat. I just shut it down. You know, if anything comes in, I know my TC is going to take care of it. I now have a virtual assistant over in the Philippines, so I've got my evenings and weekends covered. So now my TC can enjoy her life and truly, you know, be off at 5 o'clock. So we're big on quality of life and just trying to create systems and support so that everyone can, you know, do more life.
Everyone's benefiting from this because you're not just taking care of yourself. You're making sure your agents and your staff are able to live the good life too a little.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, I think burnout is a problem in the industry, isn't it, Ben? You know, especially with new agents, when they start getting busy, if they don't have a brokerage that's got some systemization, that they can soon feel totally overwhelmed, can't they?
I was there. Yeah, I had burnout. You know, I was looking for a job in 2009. I thought, well, this stinks. I can't do this. I don't particularly like it anymore. And yeah, if you don't have those systems and support in place, it's going to be rough.
Yeah, so when it comes to the actual database, are you still... Because it was quite interesting when you were comparing these two agents that recently joined you. One had a substantial database and one just following really had no database. That really goes against like the 101 in the industry, which is always, you know, to have a long-term career in this industry, you've got to have a strong database. I get the feeling that you don't really totally agree with that, or do you think it varies enormously?
Yeah, you know, I've got 153 people in my database, and I'm doing 70 houses a year, 70 sides a year. It has more to do with, in my opinion, how you engage. That's it. You know, if you're engaging with the right people, meaning your core people, you could have 20 people in your database, and you're going to be okay.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic point, Ben. I think we're going to go for our break, folks. We're going to come back and learn more about Ben Andrews' fantastic success in Portland. We'll be back in a couple of seconds, folks.
Buying or selling a home in the greater Reno, Tahoe area? I know the best CRS real estate broker, and that's Karen Conrad. And you can find her at KarenConrad.com or call her directly at 775-527-7021.
We're coming back, folks. We're going to learn more from Ben about his processes. It's very different to the kind of what is broadcast in the industry on a regular basis. That's why I thought it would be a fascinating conversation. Me and Thomas thought that. So you've got a new agent in the door, Ben. How do you draw a landscape for him about your process and how it's going to be, might be a bit different to maybe they've gone to some other brokerages before they knocked on your door, Ben?
Well, you know, to me, if you have a new agent that is just starting out, the hardest part for them is to call people and say, hey, I'm getting my real estate license. I'm going to be a realtor, because they don't want to be salesy. And I think when you were a brand new agent, the first thing you got to do is get your systems in place first. And I think that's where people get off. You know, the gal that I said had done 3 deals this year, unfortunately for her, all those 3 happened at the same time. And so, you know, her wheels are spinning. She's got no transaction coordinator. She, you know, nothing, you know. And then April and May comes around and she's like, you know, maybe I should reach out to them and thank them for, you know, working with me. Whereas the other person who's at about 15 now, you know, the closing gift was sent to them. He got a ping 7, 14, 30 days after closings to reach out to these people and just check in. He doesn't have to think about it.
Yeah.
And that I should probably mention, and to what extent you want to discuss it, Ben, is part of your agent success program that you've made available to all your agents. And maybe you could share a little about what agent success is at Willamette Realty Group.
Sure. So agent success program is simply, and the way we've built it is it can be duplicated anywhere. You know, I have someone in Seattle that I'm working with now, and we're essentially running his business for him. Agent success program, what it started out with was I went to bed and I could not sleep because I thought, oh my gosh, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. So I wrote all those things down. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, what if the system can do this? So all of your marketing goes out. All of your emails are pinged to you so that you know when to send these. Has great, just a ton of meat within the content of the emails. Tells you when to do your videos. Four client parties a year. So 6 weeks out, we say, hey, you go into Referral Maker, your CRM, you tell us who you want to go to your pie party, who you want to go to the bowling party, whatever the party is. All they have to do is create a group. We handle all of the marketing. We handle all of the postcards, the messages that go out throughout a client party. All they have to do is call and say, hey, Thomas, you know, you probably got my postcard. You probably got my email. Love to see you, you know, in 2 weeks or whatever the case might be. During a transaction, all of your transaction management is done. You know, scheduling for home inspection. And I want to back up. We, as a team, anyone on the agent success, we block our time. So I know that my home inspections are Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays between 9 a.m. and 1:30 so that I can take my son to school, have time to get there, and have my home inspection done in time to pick up my son if I need to or want to.
So part of what you do, though, is you kind of guide people into these time blocks so it's not just random. So that's part of how you're controlling your time to be at home with your family or to be at the office and be focused, because you're not afraid to guide your clients to where you need them to have these events occur.
Absolutely. You know, and per the agent success program, they all do the same thing too. So, you know, Lance, Kevin, all these people have their own time blocks so that the TC can just schedule whatever they need to in their realm. It's been wildly successful. People are, you know, one guy I asked, "Hey, how are things going with your business? Are you liking the agent success?" And you know, he laughed. He's like, "Well, you probably talk to my wife." So talked to her a couple weeks later, and you know, she got a little verklempt and said, "You know, my husband has his wife back. I'm not doing work at 11:30 at night. I can sit and talk to him at 8 o'clock when the kids go down and just watch TV or just connect." That's a big piece. And this real estate business can just run people into the ground.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why I thought it was so important to get your message out there and get you on the show, because what breaks my heart constantly in this business, I empathize with a lot of agents, because they're talking about having no life, no vacations, no days off. They're a high divorce rate in this industry, including myself, for not having boundaries when I first got into the business. And this may all sound wonderful to the established agent or the big broker, but what about the individual agent that's maybe in the first year or 3 years of their business listening to this? I mean, same advice, or how do they get started when they don't have all the funds to implement programs like this?
Well, you know, what I did when I kind of, as Jonathan so eloquently said, came out of the ashes. One of the things I did is I reached out to 20 people in my database, and I said, I might have been puffing a little bit, but I said, "Hey, Thomas, you are one of my top 20 people. I'm restructuring my business to just work by referral. If Billy over here refers me, they're going to work with someone on my team. If you want to work with me, or if you refer someone to me, they're going to get all of me." And what that did is really raise the level of that relationship. So I think you got to be intentional in how you present your value. And then beyond that, someone just starting out, they really need to get a mentor. Don't be afraid to get signed up with a team, but just make sure that team leader isn't going to hold your database hostage. But the biggest thing for a newer agent or someone that's having a hard time, you got to get a CRM, and Referral Maker's the best out there that I've seen.
Well, the thing that I see with a lot of agents too these days, speaking of Referral Maker, is buying leads. I've heard of agents spending up to $5,000 a month on leads. Where do your leads come from, and how do you manage them, and do you pay for leads?
I don't pay for them, no. All of my leads come from my database. This right now, I'm 98% by referral, so that other 2% are from sign calls. We turn those into relational relationships as well. I was at a panel last week, or 2 weeks ago rather, and they had agents in there that were doing 25 million or more. And I was on the lower side. I think I'm killing it. These guys were doing 30, 40, 50 million. And they were saying, "Yeah, I'm spending 5,000. I'm spending 7,000 a month on Zillow." And what they're doing, interestingly, is they're taking money, their marketing money, they're taking it out of their client party budget, and they're funneling it into Zillow to try to get more leads because they feel the market's going to shift. And, my first thought was, "Man, you're a good guy, you're a good salesman, but you're going to be serving me dinner at a really nice restaurant in a couple years because your business is going to dry up." When things hit the skids, people want to work with someone they know, not just someone online.
Right. A trusted advisor, relationship.
Yeah. I don't pay for any leads, but I won't.
Yeah. I think my position on this, Ben, is a kind of hybrid position. I have nothing against Zillow and the other portal sites. And if agent really wants to go down that road, that's their decision. But, you're not building a brand. You're not branding yourself. You're getting leads from a third party. And I agree with you. Relying totally from one source, that's a third party, which is not involved in building your brand as a brokerage, is not the best path to go down, I feel. But on the same context, I think my position is a kind of medium road. I think some online marketing is beneficial, but it must be marketing that is about lead generation, but also brand awareness as well.
I agree.
Yep, but where I think you have really hammered it is an area where a lot of agents are really, and brokerages, are really very, very poor at, is that they are constantly, they really don't nurture their which is their true referral base, the people in their mm-hmm. local community.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Because it's well known, Ben, in actual science, that we come from tribal background where the average tribe is about 150 people. And we modern civilization's only been going for about 10,000 years, but our tribal backgrounds go for millions in years. So we, on average, only know 150 people mm-hmm. to any level, Ben, and they're the people that will probably refer somebody to us.
Absolutely.
And I think yep. you've really hammered that basic fact, which so many agents are always looking for a new lead, but they really don't nurture the garden, really, do they?
Right. Exactly. Yep. You know, in every June, we'll go through, Portland's a real restaurant-friendly place, and we'll go through and just say, hey, what's your favorite restaurant right now? And, you know, we're you know, getting a lot of referrals. We want to reward our people that are referring us. What's your favorite restaurant right now? And what that does is kind of wakes up that person and say, hey, you know what? I should be referring Ben, but I'm not going out saying, I need your business. But then I also get their favorite restaurant. So I'll send them a, you know, $30 gift card. Hey, thanks for your referral. Hopefully, you know, this will bless someone else. But it just kind of stirs the pot, so to speak.
So, hey, you know, I get a lot of feedback from a lot of agents and they're saying it's just in certain markets, obviously it varies. It's about, well, we can't get any sellers. You know, we got a lot of people looking to buy, but I just can't get the kind of sellers that I'm looking for. Have you had that problem, or does your system deal with that, really?
You know, I'm right down the middle. I'll do 35 buyers, 35 sellers this year. I know that a lot of postcard campaigns are working if they're done in a right way. They could be a great source of business. But you know, to turn that person into a true advocate for your business, it's got to be done right. You know, I know when we do open houses, you know, we do it in a very systematic way. We've got the balloons, we do the, you know, 10, 10, 20 touch, the, you know, 10 houses to the left, 10 houses to the right, 20 across the street. And we'll say, hey, we're doing an open tomorrow between, you know, 1 and 3 o'clock, but we're having a special open house just for the neighbors between 12 and 1. And so now, you know, if you got 15 people coming through, they're 15 neighbors. So they are sellers. You know, hey, Thomas, great. You know, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in. Where do you live? I live up here in the blue house. Okay, great. I write that down as a reference. And then during the open house, I'll just write, you know, 15 notes. So nice to meet you at the open house today. So nice to meet you at the open house today. And I just turn that into a relationship. You know, a lot of our newer agents, that's how they start. We've got a ton of open houses for them. And that's how we do it. Make it a relational way. And when someone walks through the door, you know, between the 1 and 3, it's not, you know, hey, I'd love to be your realtor. It's, you know, hey, are you out looking for a home today, or do you live in the neighborhood? That's a conversation.
I think a lot of agents, especially when they're starting out, they don't have a clue about doing this because of you know, they want to make money now. They got to get started. They don't have the patience to grow a relationship the way you're describing. What are some of the tips you give your newer agents? Because these relationships are a process and they take time. But they pay dividends in the end. How do you keep them focused on the steps and the activities along the way to build that while they're struggling to start their career?
Well, we just hammer that home, you know, just like, you know, I went and shadowed a major league batting practice one day, and you guys, they don't get in the cage and start hitting 90 mile an hour fastballs. They literally start out on the tee. And so we just drive that home all the time. Like, hey guys, you know, even though McGuire might be doped up on some drugs, he's still on the tee. So we need to just focus on the very simple things, which is just simple interaction with human beings. You know, in our office, we refer to it as human capital. We have something that no one ever has. You have something in your database that no one has access to, and that's your human capital and how your people see you.
Right.
And then we just try to build them up without, you know, waving the Ben Andrews flag or the Willamette Realty Group flag. It's, you know, this is your business, and we're going to help you, you know, kind of behind the curtains.
And that's something I think a lot of agents forget, is that if they're truly nurturing their database, they don't have any competition out there because nobody has the people that they have in their database. Right. But I think it's the neglect that our databases suffer that sometimes cause people to wander off.
Well, the big panel I went to, there were some of these agents, you know, they've got these robo dialers and, you know, right, they're calling 500 people a day.
Right.
And he's like, Ben, you know, we're calling your database. And I said, well, you know, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, you can call my grandma and try to get in on, you know, inheritance. You can try to get in and take her out to lunch. But when she wants to eat, she's going to call me, you know. If you're doing it right and just constantly staying in touch. In fact, last week I had a buyer. They have this big, beautiful house. They wanted to buy two rentals. And they said, hey, you know what? We got a call from, you know, one of these realtors in town saying it's a great time to buy. And we hung up and called you. And so, you know, I wanted to send them a referral fee, but she didn't know who they were. So, and I would have, just to make drive the point home.
See, and I think what Jonathan said earlier about our tribal instincts and what you're doing with your systems, taking people from, you know, a lead to a client, to a closed client, now to finally to these client appreciation parties and gratitude gatherings that we throw for our clients. That's where you see the proof in the pudding, when you have that community that comes together and you get to stand back and watch people compare Ben Andrews stories. Oh, he sold me my house, or, oh yeah, well, he saved my deal. And that's a great byproduct of doing these parties, which I think if a lot of newer agents got to see that part of it, they would understand that, yeah, it starts with consistently calling and texting and videoing and popping by and managing their database and nurturing the relationships in it.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I think myself, Ben, is that so many agents and brokerages just, you know, it's just keeping that relationship going, showing that you're active in the industry and you can do what you say you're going to do for the client, and just keeping that relationship without it being abrasive and pushy, and just keeping it nurtured, isn't it, Ben?
Absolutely.
So yep. Just to finish off, Ben, you know, we're coming to the end of the year and a lot of agents are going to be looking at 2017. What are some of your plans in 2017, and what are some of the concerns and challenges that you're going to you see in 2017 and you're going to try and overcome?
I don't want to sound too brash, but I don't see any challenges. If I'm doing what I need to do, it's going to happen. You know, I ran track, and I remember my coach telling me, you want to run a 4-minute mile? And I said, yeah. And he goes, you've done the work. All you got to do is keep turning left. If you turn right, you're going to be screwed up. Just stay left. And, you know, that's my business. If I keep doing my calls, write my notes, it's all going to fall in place. If the market does shift, I truly believe I'll have my, you know, this year I'll probably do 27 million. I will have a much better year if the market shifts, because of my foundation of the business is so strong now with my trusted advisors. You know, I am the trusted advisor. As far as planning, my whole team on December 6th, we're going up on the train and we're going to do a big day of business planning. I'm big on visual anchors. We're going to go to top of the Space Needle. You know, Pacific Northwest, you probably see the Space Needle once a week on the news or something. So just having that visual anchor, that's where I did my business plan. You know, my big thing is, you know, 2017, my biggest thing is going to be come, grow, serve, go. That's kind of our motto. So we're breaking it down into quarters, and each quarter is going to have its own theme as an office and also with my business. And I'm beyond excited. I already sent a video out to my database to say, hey, here's how we're going to do business next year. These are some of the events we're going to have you involved with. And, you know, it's the reaction has been stellar so far.
That's fantastic news, Ben. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. And I think you've given a real different insight about effective planning that's definitely different. And I totally agree with it myself. So, Ben, how can people get hold of you and learn more about you and if they're an agent, they might want to have a chat with you?
Sure. BenAndrews.com is probably the easiest way. But I'm on Facebook and Twitter and other people manage them, but I'm there. So reach out. BenAndrews.com is the best way to reach out.
That's great. And my great co-host, Thomas J. Nelson. How can people yes. get hold of you?
Well, they can reach out to me at ThomasJNelsonRealtor.com. And I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and all other social media. And Ben, I just wanted to give you a big thank you for coming on. You've been a good friend and a mentor in my life, and I appreciate having you on today.
You asked some great questions. I was actually taking some notes here as you were asking me something. Like, oh, that triggered something else. So thank you. You're a good dude, man.
Yeah, that's great. And people can get hold of me, folks. It's at jonathan@mel-wright.com. Or they can go to our Twitter. I'm normally around there every day. And thanks so much, folks. And we'll have another industry guest next week. We hope to give value to our listeners and put some seeds in your mind about maybe doing things a bit different in 2017. See you next week, folks. Bye.